Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all those ships out at sea. Gordon here, KY6V, and this is South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization. Further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Mike, KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all short-time stations, will not be recognized as such, and all stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com, and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control and master ceremonies this evening will be Kathy, our net manager, and that's K6SUN. She will be backed up by Gary up there in Syracuse, our assistant net manager, KC2RMO. My name is Gordon, as I mentioned, KY6V, and I'm located here in Central Florida and just opening up the session here for the two mentioned. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time, and if so, would you please call now? Okay, everything's quiet on the Western Front. Do we have any birthdays? Today, yesterday, last week, this coming week, we'd like to pipe you right up to the center stage and bring you aboard first. Birthdays, please. Well, here we go again. None of us are getting any older. This is the South Cars VOIP Global Family Hour, and the intent of this net is to encourage members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the members' stations. Our program for this evening is going to be talking about the important bridges around the world. We're going to be talking about the main ones here in the United States as well as the rest. And as I mentioned, at 55 minutes into the hour, we might even be talking about Governor Christie. With that, Kathy, good evening. Thanks for being here. And the show is yours from KY6V. Over.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Gordon. Thanks for starting the program this evening. And I want to welcome everyone everywhere to a very important topic tonight. We have so many important bridges with so much history and experiences. We hope tonight that you will enjoy the history of these bridges. But we sure want you to share your thoughts, your comments, and maybe you have a famous bridge we didn't discuss. We hope that you will share those comments. I do want to tell you my current temperature is about 79 degrees. High today was about 83, and tomorrow is going to be a high of about 68. But it was a much more beautiful day today than it was in the past down here in South Florida. You know, America boasts some of the most famous and understated bridges in the world today. Travel throughout certain regions and you will drive over bridges dating back to the 1800s. Tonight we're going to talk about famous U.S. and world bridges, so please share comments at any time. Bridges over heavily crowded roads and highways and seas are a way of connecting two areas, useful for daily commute and also bring an eternal touch of ambience to the cities. The United States is well known for advanced technology and infrastructure, which also include bridges. Some bridges in the U.S. are constructed in the technological years, but some are from an ancient era, which serve people even today. Now, before we begin with our bridges, we want you to come aboard with any comments, or maybe that famous bridge you want to talk about, or that famous experience. But Mr. Gary is going to share with us about the bridge over troubled waters. So how about any check-ins as we continue with the program this evening?
RMO.
All right, it looks like we have only one station, but before I call on you, Gary, let's see if I can get anyone else out there. We have quite a few stations, and you've been over any kind of bridge, even if it's been small or been long. You live in the state of Florida. You've made a trip to the Keys. You probably have gone over one of the bridges I'll talk about. How about anyone else before I call on my backup this evening to come aboard? So, if you'd like to be the first to check in this evening, please come aboard.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
6 Victor. And I bet George is going to talk about the 7-mile bridge. Kathy, over.
Well, this is a good start. See, I knew we could get more than just one to come aboard. And I think you're right, Gordon. He's going to talk about that 7-mile bridge. And that actually is part of what I was going to talk about, but he's an expert. So hopefully that's what he'll talk about. So let me start with Mr. Gary. I have LCB. I have Jack. Good evening, Jack, and I have you, 6 Victor. Let's see what Gary's going to talk about. Besides the bridge over troubled waters, Gary, how about some bridges in your area, some of the ones you've been over, or anything else you'd like to talk about? So, Casey, too, RMO, come aboard.
Hey there, Kathy and Gordon and everybody else. Good evening, and it's great to be here once again tonight. 49 degrees. Balmy and windy and rainy here in Syracuse's beautiful outer Comstock section. And, yeah, we've got the bridge over troubled water and, you know, and we've got bridge work and we've got Lloyd bridges. There's all kinds of things with bridges. The other day, it's funny, Gordon had mentioned about New Jersey. Paul WQ1I and I were going back and making some funnies back and forth on some emails, and Paul had said to me, we ought to take this on the road, and I wrote him back. I said, with our luck, the road would end up at a toll booth in New Jersey. So, you know, be it as it may, right? But this is a good topic tonight because somebody sitting here in this room, and it ain't me, friends and neighbors, but somebody here in this room has a fear of bridges, and I don't know if we're going to be getting into that or not, but I would like to hear some comment on that one. As far as bridges that I like, there are two that are pretty cool. There's one is that Rainbow Bridge going into Niagara Falls, and the other is let me just buy a nickel. The other you don't see from the road. It's a railroad bridge near Albany, New York. And I don't know how high up this thing is, but it goes. It's got to be a couple of hundred, 300 feet up in the air, and it goes on forever, and you're on this train going across this bridge, and it's like you hold your breath all the way across as you're going. It's insane, very, very cool. I always liked that trip. Used to take the train to Boston every now and then, and always liked that part of the trip going over that bridge because it was good and spooky. So that's it for right now. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you for sharing this evening, Gary. When you talk about the bridge over troubled waters, I've had one of those in the past few days. Started Thursday with being in a flood and then stranding my car, going to pick up my car, then working with a new Ultrabook, which turns into a tablet, that I had everything loaded on it. I'm having problems with EchoLink. And then all of a sudden it locked itself, so I had to take it back today and restore it. So today's been an interesting day. But we'll tell Stephanie a little story here. You probably have never taken her, maybe you have, Niagara Falls. And I think you just recently went to Niagara Falls. You know, going way up above the falls as you go over on some of those lookouts and looking down, that always is something I don't enjoy doing, especially with all the mist. But the Mackinac Bridge, which is one of the bridges I will talk about. It's about 5 miles long, and I actually have walked that bridge many, many times. You're way, way up. Should take Stephanie with me on that walk in that bridge, and maybe she'd lose that fear. But maybe she'll come aboard. We're mainly going to talk about the bridges, not about the fear. Some of us have been in those areas when they were constructed, and so hope everyone will come aboard. So I'll break with you right now, but come aboard, and I know you will throughout the program. Mr. LCB, KW4LCB, thanks for being here this evening, and what would you like to share with us?
Evening time, Miss K6SUN and KW4 Lima. Charlie Bravo. Well, let me see, Kathy. I traveled over 47 bridges on a weekly basis now. You have mentioned one, the 7 Mile Bridge, but you've got the Duck Key Bridge there and the Indian Key Bridge and the Jewfish Creek, Sumlin Key. Oh, let's don't forget Big Pine Key. We might have one of our listeners there, but I thought I'd kind of hit a little bit about the 7 Mile Bridge. There was two of them, one for the cars and one for the railroad train. You've got some information on that. We'll just kind of tag along there and kind of enjoy it there and feel when we can. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
All right. Thanks so much, George. And I have gone through over a lot of those bridges and the 7 Mile Bridge. I'm actually going to talk about the 10 longest bridges. And I think this is in the United States, pretty much. And, you know, that may be one of them. You know, I know there's one in Louisiana. Don't know the name of it. I was hoping a VH would be here because there is a... I remember hearing it when Scott, he would talk about that bridge. So hopefully he'll be here to talk about that. But there's so many bridges. Bridges that go from like Michigan to Canada and Michigan to the Upper Peninsula and different areas that George Washington Bridge that Gordon was talking about, which I've never been on, but so many bridges. So with that, Mr. Jack, hopefully the streets are clear. All that water is gone, and I think it probably is, but I'm sure the lake is around Dale Casson still, and we'll find out more about that Monday. But how are things in your area, and what would you like to share with us about bridges? And, you know, I know you're from the north up there as well, so maybe you have some bridges up there that you've gone over. So, Jack, K4JAK, thanks for being here, and please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and good evening, and good evening, South Cars. And, we could have definitely used a bridge Thursday. water everywhere, and not a drop to spare. Boy, I'm telling you, that was something else, wasn't it? But, yeah, I grew up and went to school in Indiana, so been over a few bridges there, Madison County, Indiana, over the covered bridge there, which, I think there's a movie there on it. Clint Eastwood, and I'm thinking maybe I'm wrong there, but Bridges of Madison County is a movie there. I've been over that bridge. Excellent bridge. It's great. A lot of history there, although at the time I can't remember much of it. But anyway, have been there. I have been there, done that. Fished off a few bridges and this and that, and even even did a little diving off of them every once in a while. But what can I say? Those were younger days, and we weren't real smart back then. But glad you made it through Thursday's and Friday's weather safe and sound, and glad your car's all right, Kathy. So hey, we'll give it back to you there, and we'll be listening. K4JAK, back to K6SUN.
Well, thank you, Jack, for being here this evening. Yes, it was an experience. And I arrived back at Dale Casson's at 1 o'clock. It was just misting about that point. And between 1 and 4, I've never seen so much rain. And I looked out in our front courtyard, and... It couldn't drain off fast enough. The roads all around Dale Casson's were impassable, cars in the ditches, and even buses having problems. So there was no way I could get out. You know, I'm thinking if I had a canoe or a kayak, I probably would have But I got into one of those big trucks like you have, and he was able to get me home safely, and the car was safe. I had all those wheels. A lot of teachers left their cars there, so it was probably pretty safe with all the cars. Thanks for coming aboard, Jack, and hopefully you'll come back aboard as we talk a little bit further in the program. We're going to start with some of the bridges, and then if you know of any others, we sure hope that you come back aboard. So with that, Mr. Six Victor, and I know the one you're going to talk about, and actually that's the very first on my list, but you've been over many bridges as well as those bridge over troubled waters that Gary's talking about, and I'm not sure if you've been up north, New Jersey area. So what can you tell about your favorite bridges or any bridges you'd like to talk about?
Well, thanks, Kathy. Gordon here at KY6V. I've been over an awful lot of bridges. And I will say that most of the bridges that I crossed, through the years were not designed architecturally. particularly for Gordon to travel, but that's yet a different story. Good evening to you, Gary. Bridges over troubled waters. Garfunkel and group, 1970. Great. And I think Paul Simon was the guy that made the real hit on that. Kathy, I'll reserve my comments. Obviously, my pick is the Golden Gate Bridge. I know you're going to get into it. Having born in the Hawaiian Islands, I was really raised in San Francisco, so I know an awful lot about that bridge. And I want you to know that when you get talking about it, that I'm older than that bridge. KY6V. Go ahead, Kathy.
All right, thank you for sharing. And actually, that's what I'm going to first talk about, is the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. I've been over that many, many times. It's been a long time since I've been there. But, I've been over that. And so I want to share a little bit about that. And Gordon, when I finish, I hope that you'll come aboard. And actually, I think it was in the planning stage in the early 1930s, 34, something like that, but wasn't completed until, I think it was May of 1937. So, but let me talk a little bit about it, and then let's see what Gordon can further share with us. You know, one of the most iconic symbols in America has to be the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Spanning across the Golden Gate of San Francisco Bay and joining U.S. Route 101 and the California State Route 1, this is possibly one of the most photographic bridges in the world. Completed under budget in April of 1937, it was at the time the longest cable suspension bridge in the world. The original design by Joseph Strauss was deemed unacceptable from a visual point, with the final design by New York Manhattan Bridge designer Leon Moisseiff. With so many vantage points to view the bridge and pedestrian access by foot or bicycle, you will be sure to snap perfect pictures. She's particularly beautiful when clouded in fog. Following the California Gold Rush that began in 1849, the land just north of San Francisco Bay began to increase in value because of its accessibility to the city. The idea for a suspension bridge of some sort that would connect the two land masses that border the mouth of the bay dates back as far as 1869, but there were many obstacles to overcome, not the least of which was financial support. So this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November in our Global Family Hour. Let me take a drop here. In 1916, James Wilkins, he was a structural engineer by education who was working as an editor for the San Francisco Call Bulletin, wrote an article that called for a suspension bridge across the strait with a center span of 3,000 feet, which was nearly twice the length of any in existence at that time. The idea was to build a bridge that would span the Golden Gate, which is a narrow 400-foot deep strait that serves as the mouth of the San Francisco Bay. Wilkins' idea was estimated to cost around $100 million, so city engineers started looking for someone who could do it for less. Engineer and poet Joseph Strauss stepped in and estimated he could get it done for $25 to $30 million with a main span of at least 4,000 feet. By the time litigation and other obstacles started to dissipate, the Great Depression of 1929 hit, setting the project back again. Finally, in 1932, the San Francisco-based Bank of America agreed to back the entire project to help the local economy. The bridge officially opened on May 27, 1937, and became the longest bridge span in the world, an honor that lasted for 27 years. In total, over 2 million vehicles have crossed the Golden Gate Bridge since opening day. So, by the way, Gordon, you were born this month, by the way, 1937, so you probably don't remember it when it first opened. But let's continue. Let me take a drop here. You know, the Golden Gate Bridge connects Marin County with the San Francisco Peninsula. The name of the bridge has nothing to do with the actual appearance of the bridge, and it is not golden, but international orange in color. It refers to the prospectors approaching the gold fields around 150 years ago, who called the entrance of the San Francisco Bay as the Golden Gate. The bridge design was prepared, and the engineering was carried out by Joseph Strauss. The laying of the foundation and construction started on January 5, 1933. The foundation of the Golden Gate Bridge North Pier was constructed 20 feet beneath the ocean on a rock bed, whereas the foundation of the South Pier was built in open waters. And let me pause here once again. So, a big pneumatic caisson was built, and hundreds of tons of concrete was pumped into it. The construction of the towers was finished in 1935, but the steel cables were to be hung. Finally, in 1937, the bridge was completely built. The total length of the bridge is around 2737 meters. That's 2,737 meters. Width is about 27 meters. Height is about 227 meters. The construction of the bridge took 12 lives, and 19 people were saved by the safety net. The people who were saved from falling were later named as the Halfway to Hell Club. The bridge was formally opened to the public on May 27, 1937, and approximately 200,000 people crossed over it. So with that, let me throw it out there, and I hope, Gordon, you'll come aboard and tell us about your experiences on the Golden Gate Bridge or anyone else. So how about some check-ins?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Six, Victor.
And RMO.
All right, I have six, Victor. I have an RMO, and then I had a key up through the IRLP node 3740. Is there anyone else? Maybe you've gone over that bridge and like to share your experiences, or maybe you just want to go to that bridge. Are there any other check-ins at this point?
VXP.
All right, I'll pick up these three gentlemen. And I know we have the expert coming up first that can share all this information with us because, like we said, he was born around that time, probably went through a lot of the trials that they do go through with bridges, the repainting and reconstruction, and so hopefully he'll share that with us this evening. So, KY6B, what further information can you give us about the Golden Gate Bridge?
Well, thank you, Kathy. Gordon here, KY6B. You know, something of interest about the maintenance that you just mentioned on the Golden Gate Bridge, it's endless. They start at the first of the year on the south side of the bridge and start maintenance procedures across the bridge, which lasts about a year. They've been doing this since its inception. And then when they get to the end, this whole crew just goes back to the start and starts it all over again. So that's the way the cookie crumbles with the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, growing up in San Francisco, it was always something on the horizon to to be really respected. After I grew up a little bit, went to college and so on and so forth, my first job was in San Francisco. And by that time, Kathy, I had bought a home up in Marin County, which is on the north side of the bridge. You've already mentioned this. So I commuted daily, you know, twice a day over the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, this caused a little frustration for me from time to time. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. I would say that I knew that I was a tad bit older than the completion date of the bridge, being in 1937. I was born in January, you know, they completed it in, what was it, May or something. So you drive across this bridge, and you think, this blooming thing has been here since 1937, I wonder how sound it is. And I don't recall the exact footage, but I think it's somewhere between 500 and 700 plus feet above water. A lot of people have committed suicide off that bridge, which is a devastating way to go, because by the time you reach the velocity that you are traveling after you jumped off that bridge and hit that water, it's like hitting solid cement. Let me buy another nickel. The point that I want to make here is that, and this is an honest story, that there have been many times during traffic jams when I was commuting across that bridge that I'd get out in the middle of that center span, which is some 3,000 feet long, and this bridge would sway if there was a lot of wind. And it would sway, east and west, and give you this rocking motion. It was like Sammy Kay and swing and sway type operation. And you'd sit there because you couldn't do anything else. You know, traffic was stopped. You're out in the middle and you think to yourself, what happens if this bridge goes down at this altitude? Let me buy another nickel. And then you get thinking, Kathy, okay, if I go down in this car, should I have my window open or should I have it closed? These are actual thoughts that I had back in those days. If the window was down, I could get out of the car faster. If the window was up, I might be in trouble. It was a catch-22. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Gordon. And, you know, I was very young. Well, I guess I wasn't that young. I was a teenager times I remember going over that. And I do remember the swaying. But, you know, I also feel that over any of the long bridges. But I've heard your story many times about they get to one end and then they have to come back and repair. And, you know, that same thing happens up with the Mackinac. And, you know, just like you're talking about people committing suicide, and some of these bridges that are so high, people just drive their cars right off of it, and that's a good way they commit suicide. So, you know, maybe you'd like to answer this, because I can't remember. Did you have to pay to go over the bridge? You know, the Mackinac, you pay from one side to the other, and then if you want to come back, you pay another fee. So, can you tell me, and you may not know that now, maybe it's changed, but did you have to pay a toll to go over that bridge? And if you went both times, you know, that could be quite a fee that you had to pay daily. Back to you, KY6V.
Well, that's an interesting question, Kathy, KY6V. I have no idea what it is today. You know, I've been out of California for many, many years. But when I was a kid, you could drive across that bridge for 25 cents. Now, you have to realize that 25 cents also bought a gallon of gasoline, or you could get a haircut for 25 cents. And then I recall as the years rolled by, it was up to about a buck and a quarter, maybe a dollar and a half to go across the bridge. And it's probably now $64.25, Kathy. KY6, way over.
All right. Thanks so much, Gordon. And I was just wondering, because I couldn't remember. Almost all the bridges are pay you some kind of toll. So let me break with you and pick up Mr. Gary and see what he would like to share with us about the Golden Gate Bridge, because I know you just recently made a trip out to California. I'm not sure if you went over that. So KC2RMO, come aboard.
Thanks, Kath. No, we didn't get as far north as San Francisco. We were in Los Angeles. But one of these days we are going to go to San Francisco. My dad was from San Francisco, and I've always wanted to see San Francisco. So that is on the list, that's for sure. It is always fascinated me. And that bridge, I may not have been able to leave my heart in San Francisco, but I think my heart is waiting for me in San Francisco, and it's on that bridge. I want to see that bridge, that's for sure. You know, a couple of interesting facts about the Golden Gate that I looked up while you were talking about it. According to the History Channel, the Golden Gate, it was originally they wanted to paint it in stripes. The U.S. War Department initially objected to the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge because it feared that that Navy ships could be trapped in San Francisco Bay if the span was bombed or collapsed. The military eventually gave its approval, but it wanted the bridge to be covered in garish stripes. So you couldn't miss that. Ray Charles could see that thing if it was striped. And also, you talk about suicides. I don't know how we gravitated towards this, but suicides on the Golden Gate. More than 1,500 people have committed suicide by jumping from the Golden Gate Bridge. It is the top suicide location in the world. If you're going to do it right. Go to the Golden Gate. And with that, we'll go back to that. This is KC2RMO.
All right, thank you, Gary. And if Stephanie's there next to you, she's definitely going to say you're not going to take her to the Golden Gate Bridge. But, you know, it's some of the taller bridges, that's, you know, unfortunately what happens, where people get too close to the edge. And I'm going to talk about the Mackinac. Some people get way too close to the edge, or when they're walking across on Labor Day, kids like to run around not realizing it is so far up. Hopefully as we go on in some of the bridges, and mainly tonight will be about U.S. There's a lot of other bridges throughout the world that are just beautiful. So if you ever want to search that up on the internet, just look for maybe bridges around the world, and you'll see some very interesting pictures. But let me break with you for right now and pick up Mr. VXP in Ohio. And Rick, from the state of Michigan, I'm actually going to talk about the Mackinac Bridge. So hopefully you'll share with that with us too. But what would you like to make as far as comments, either about the Golden Gate or any other bridges? Please come aboard, Rick, N1VXP.
This is N1VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. Yeah, I've traveled, I don't even know how many. I've been through a lot of major bridges. And one that comes into mind was the Golden Gate Bridge. I actually walked across that. It was an experience that I thought, well, gee, you know, it's really, I didn't think it was that far, and then I found out it was 4,200 feet long from each of the ends of the span. So 4,200 feet, I was like, okay, just under a mile. Let me see how fast I can walk across. Well, I made it across in about, I would say maybe 5 minutes. But coming back, I said, no, wait a minute. This is getting to be a little bit too much to do it that fast. So I took my time. And I don't know if anybody's aware. I know when I was out there, there was a particular It was a guy that was actually kind of like a... He wasn't really uniformed like a police officer, but he was there. And he was just to watch people that looked like they were going to possibly commit suicide. And he would stand there and talk to them. And I saw a thing on the news a while back that due to the economy, they were going to drop his position. And they put in phones. I'm thinking to myself, if somebody wanted to commit suicide, they're not going to pick up a phone. Yeah, but with the person out there, this particular person had saved quite a few lives from actually jumping. And it was just too bad that it said I timed out. I didn't even hear my time warning. It was the idea that the economy was pulled for his position to be eliminated, and I felt kind of bad. It was free for me to walk across and bicycles, and I think the last time I heard it was something like $5. I'm not sure if it's one way or each way, or if it's just going in one direction. A lot of the major bridges usually do that. They'll charge you one for one direction, but you go back across for... Actually, you go one direction, you go free. The other direction, you pay. So, it was a quite an experience to see that. And I was out there when it was foggy. Quite an experience to go across in a vehicle and get away from it. You can actually just see the tops of the towers. And I'll tell you, Golden Gate Bridge is one of the greatest bridges. I've been on the Mackinac Bridge. Actually, I went over across that with my parents in the nighttime. And that bridge is quite something to see from the distance when it all lit up that I'll never forget. We got right up to the bridge going across. It was almost like going into daylight. There was so much lighting on it. But something I'll never forget the sight of. And I've been through all, I don't even know how many bridges in New York, across the Hudson River and in New York City. Let me drop for a second. And there is a bridge right in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's called the John A. Roebling. And it kind of reminds, people see that, they kind of think of, I don't know, it's an older bridge. It was built back in the 1800s, but I kind of think of between the Brooklyn Bridge and the London Bridge. And I've seen it. It's quite a sight. Actually, a pedestrian bridge, but, it was quite something to see that and think, wow, that's... They really built the bridges back then, not with only steel, but a lot of masonry work, and some of those bridges are still standing. Quite a sight to see. N1GXP, back to net control.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, for sharing that. Well, I will tell you about the Mackinac. You know, I agree, when it's all lit up, and actually it turned, I'm not sure whether it was 100 or 150 years, not too long ago. I don't think it's 150, but it could be. And I have quite a framed picture of it that was given to me. I actually have a jacket of the Mackinac Bridge. It's always a great tourist area to go through, just like a lot of some of the other bridges are. But that has a unique thing, just like the Golden Gate. It was to go over to connect two areas. The same with the Mackinac and a lot of others, is to connect two areas, because Mackinac, you used to have to go by boat to get from one side to the other. Actually, the next bridge I'm going to talk about, but at any point, if you have further comments about the Golden Gate, do come aboard. We're going to talk about some bridges in Florida. And I see you, George, having some problems with your server. Hopefully you can be here to share some comments. But we're going to talk about a bridge in Tampa. We're going to talk about the 7 Mile Bridge. and some others. And hopefully those people connected in Florida will come aboard, and those who aren't can come aboard as well. The Sunshine Skyway Bridge, it's in Tampa. The Bob Graham Skyway Bridge spans almost 7 kilometers. It's about 4 miles over Tampa Bay in Florida and connects St. Petersburg and Terracea. Completed in February of 1987, it was built as a replacement from an older version that was partially destroyed in a shipping accident. The Sunshine Skyway Bridge is often featured in automobile commercials, which due to its length and sunny location makes it ideal for filming. At the highest point, she stands 431 feet high and approximately 170 feet from the water due to the popular shipping and cruise ship laneway. So maybe some of you have been there that live in Florida, but let me continue on. Since we're talking about Florida right now, I want to make some comments about the 7 Mile Bridge as well, because it is one of the 10 longest bridges, and I think this is in the world. But let me take a pause here. The 7 Mile Bridge is a famous bridge in the Florida Keys in Monroe County. It connects Knights Key, which is part of the city of Marathon, in the Middle Keys to Little Duck Key in the Lower Keys. Among the longest bridges in existence when it was built, it is one of the many bridges on US 1 in the Keys, where the road is called the Overseas Highway, like George was telling us about all the bridges. There are two bridges in this location. The older bridge, originally known as the Knights Key, Pigeon Key, Mosier Channel, Paisett Channel Bridge, was constructed from 1909 to 1912 under the direction of Henry Flagler as part of the Florida East Coast Railway's Key West Extension, also known as the Overseas Railroad. After the railroad sustained considerable damage due to effects of the Labor Day hurricane of 1935, the line was sold to the United States federal government, who subsequently refurbished the 7 Mile Bridge for automobile use. Dismantled trackage was recycled, painted white, and used as guardrails. It had a swing span that opened to allow passage of boat traffic near where the bridge crosses Pigeon Key, a small island where a work camp for Flagler's Railroad was located. Hurricane Donna in 1960 caused further damage. Let me pause here. The current road bridge was constructed from 1978 to 1982. The vast majority of the original bridge still exists, using as fishing piers and access to Pigeon Key. But the swing span over the Mosier Channel of the Intercoastal Waterway has been removed. The new bridge is a box girder structure built for precast pre-stressed concrete sections comprising 440 spans. Near the center, the bridge rises in an arc to provide 65-foot high clearance for boat passage. The remainder of the bridge is considerably closer to the water surface. The new bridge does not cross Pigeon Key. The total length of the new bridge is actually 35,862 feet. Or 6.79 miles, and is shorter than the original. Each April, the bridge is closed for approximately 2.5 hours on the Saturday in a fun run known as the 7 Mile Bridge Run. Of 1,500 runners is held commemorating the Florida Keys Bridge Rebuilding Project. The event began in 1982 to commemorate the completion of a federally funded bridge building program that replaced spans that oil tycoon Henry Flagler constructed in the early 1900s to serve as the foundation for his overseas railroad. Let me take a pause. The 7 Mile Bridge was engineered by Figg and Muller Engineers. The structure was completed 6 months ahead of schedule and has earned 8 awards, including an exceptional award for cost-saving innovation from the Federal Highway Administration. The bridge has featured in many films such as License to Kill, True Lies, Too Fast, Too Furious, and Mission Impossible 3. And further in the net, we will include our 10 longest bridges in the world. But right now, how about some check-ins?
RMO.
Oh, I'm Charlie Bravo.
All right, we have two. We have RMO and Lima Charlie Bravo. Anybody else? Any other Florida stations? Have had the experience of either of these bridges that would like to share that with us? And actually, it's not really a bridge, but there's a span that crosses the Tampa Bay, but it's not really a bridge. I can't remember the name of it, but I've gone over it many times. Anybody else at this point that would like to come aboard? Hearing nothing, Mr. RMO, let's start with you. What are your comments here this evening?
Well, thanks, Kath. Just wanted to pass along the 7 mile bridge was something that I've always wanted to be on. Now, let me ask my lovely wife, Unit, who's sitting over here. Did you say that you have been on that 7 mile bridge?
That's the one that goes to QS?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's a long bridge, but you did okay with it.
That bridge was also many years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so see, her bridge of phobia just is relatively new. So she was on it when she was not bridge of phobic. this may take some therapy to get her back on the thing again. I don't know, but I remember, though, I became fascinated with that bridge years and years and years ago when I saw it on an episode of Route 66, and Todd and Buzz were taking that Corvette down that bridge, and it looked great, and I said, you know, one of these days I'm going to do that. Unfortunately, not in the 1962 Corvette, but still, yeah, I'll do it in something, so it'll be okay. So that's that for that this time around, and we'll throw it back to the net. It's KC2RMO.
Well, thank you for sharing that about Route 66, the Corvette. Maybe it'll be that, what is it, the Fairlane 500 that you want, and so maybe it'll be that. But, you know, that bridge, the 7 mile bridge, is not really high up. And so maybe it's a suspension bridge that Stephanie doesn't like to go over because, that is lower to the ground and it doesn't have as far to collapse and go into the water. So she's been over that. That's probably the whole reason there. So we have an expert here coming up next, Lima Charlie Bravo, Key West Conk, who can tell us all about the 7 mile bridge as well as some of the other bridges in that area. And I'm not sure, George, I'm not sure if it said the year. Well, you weren't around in 35, but when the change was made, and I think that was way before you were born. So what would you like to share with us this evening, George? And hopefully your connection will last, because we sure want to hear from you. KW4LCB from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I was around the remains of the old Henry Flagler's bridge for many years. In fact, I was part of building a new bridge going from a pine key over at what they call a no-name key bridge, and got into the bridge building a part of it. Very interesting, and a whole lot of stories there. But Grandma used to call the East Coast Railroad, especially coming down the Keys to the locals. That was Henry's Folly. He was laughed at over that one there. And of course, what happened when the hurricane came by. Let me drop it a moment. Okay, and after that, as you pointed out, the government bought the stuff up and rebuilt a bridge there that existed until, I think you said, I don't remember the date, Kathy, but the Route 66 program, that was the old bridge, and that was one heck of a bridge. you know, they had little offsets where you could go out and have a little platform, a little catwalk, so to speak, where you can go fish. And a lot of folks would load everybody up in the back of a pickup truck and take them out there and drive the truck back and hop on a bicycle and ride it to the catwalk and go out fishing there and have a grand old time there. A whole lot of good fishing, like you said, around those bridges. And can you just imagine you've got 7 miles of open space, and within that 7 miles you start damming that water up through little arches, and that water has to funnel out. And when I'm saying water, guys, what I'm talking about is where the Atlantic Ocean crosses over to the Gulf of Mexico. That's what all these little bridges are about down the Keys. If it wasn't for them, the Keys would just kind of get washed away there. But that's part of it there. Okay, Kathy, I think maybe I spent a little bit much on that there, but some great interesting stories during the days of the building of that. People got swallowed up by jewfish, and the day of labor camps, and back at the day of when they had prisoners on the side of the road with a ball and chain, and they kept the roads cleaned up and kept the rails painted so they would you could see them to keep you from bouncing off of them. Could open a car up back then in them days. KW4 Emo, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, I knew you would be one that could really share a lot of information with us about the 7 Mile Bridge. And like I said, I've gone over it many times. Each time I do, I see people on the railroad part of it, fishing there, you know, and it's quite interesting to see. And I've got quite some interesting pictures of it, but I knew you would be the best person to talk to us about it, being born in that area and actually probably going over it many, many times. Thank you for sharing, and hopefully you'll come back aboard and talk a little further about that bridge or any other, or just come aboard and continue the discussion this evening. So since we have talked about the bridges in Florida, we're going to go way up to that cold north, which is the area of New York. And we have a couple bridges. I'm going to start with the Brooklyn Bridge. And then we're going to talk about the George Washington Bridge. And the George Washington Bridge is where that little incident happened not too long ago. Never been over either one. But let me take a pause and let me continue talking about the Brooklyn Bridge. All right, the Brooklyn Bridge, built between 1869 and 1883, connects Manhattan with New York's most populous borough of Brooklyn. The bridge is one of the most famous and magnificent landmarks in New York City. And I keep thinking back to conversations with Gordon. I've heard him on the net, and I've talked to him, where he says he's going to sell us the Brooklyn Bridge. So maybe he has some further information for us about that bridge. At the time of construction, Brooklyn, founded by Dutch settlers in the 17th century, was still an independent city. In fact, it was even one of the country's largest cities. In 1898, 15 years after the opening of the Brooklyn Bridge, Brooklyn citizens decided in a closed vote to become a borough of New York. The construction of the Brooklyn Bridge started in 1869 and took 14 years to complete. At the time, many saw the construction of such a large bridge as a folly. The driving force behind the whole project, a person by the name of John Roebling, was a German immigrant who had worked for the Prussian government as a bridge and road builder. He launched the idea of building a bridge across the East River after he had taken a ferry across the river that ended up stuck in the ice. Let me take a pause. He would never get to see the bridge he had designed. He died after crushing his foot in an accident. He wasn't the only one to lose his life during the construction. 20 of the in total 600 workers died while working on the bridge. The son of Roebling took over the leadership of the project, but he suffered from the Kaysen disease as a result of the works on the pillars of the bridge and was on his deathbed during the inauguration. That day, May 24th, 1883, about 150,000 people crossed the bridge. Roebling had not just made a bridge that looked incredibly strong, it also turned out to be just as strong in reality. A mesh of cables, of which the four strongest have a diameter of 11 inches, are anchored in the ground and keep the bridge from collapsing. Let me pause again. But even if the four strongest cables would snap, the other cables would still be sufficient to support the bridge. He even claimed that the bridge wouldn't collapse without any cables. It just would merely sag. But even after the inauguration, many New Yorkers were not convinced the bridge was safe. So as to prove the doubters wrong, someone led a caravan of circus animals, the Barnum Bailey Circus, including a herd of 21 elephants across the bridge in 1884. The Brooklyn Bridge ranks as one of the greatest engineering feats of the 19th century and remains one of New York's most popular and well-known landmarks. The impressive bridge spans the East River between Brooklyn and Manhattan and stretches for a length of 5,989 feet, about 1.8 kilometers. The span between the large towers measures 1,595 feet. This made the Brooklyn Bridge the world's largest suspension bridge. Let me pause before I continue. You know, the most notable feature of the Brooklyn Bridge are the two masonry towers to which the many cables are attached. The towers, which with large Gothic arches, reach a height of 276 feet at the time, making them some of the tallest landmarks in New York. You know, an elevated pedestrian path not only gives you the opportunity to cross the river without being bothered by the traffic, but rushes past a level below. But it also offers a great view of the bridge's towers, as well as downtown Manhattan skyline. The Brooklyn Bridge connects, like I said, Brooklyn and Manhattan. So with that, I'm going to throw it out there for some check-ins. Anybody that lives up in that area, Gary, that's you in New York. Would you like to talk about the Brooklyn Bridge before I continue with the George Washington Bridge, or anyone else anywhere that would like to come aboard?
RMO.
And 6 Victor.
All right, I have two stations. I have RMO and 6 Victor. Anyone else anywhere that would like to come aboard? You only have to talk about the Brooklyn Bridge, but maybe some other bridge that you have been over or you have an interest. Anyone else at this point before I continue? Hearing nothing, Mr. Gary RMO, I know you're up in New York. Maybe you have some further information about the Brooklyn Bridge or any other bridge in that area for that matter. So, Gary, come aboard.
Well, thanks, Kath. The Brooklyn Bridge is, excuse me, I'm losing my voice tonight, and I don't know why. Brooklyn Bridge is a wonderful piece of architecture. It is, I think the only thing that really does it justice is to see it in person. I know I've been on the Brooklyn Bridge, and it's a busy place, so, you know, you don't get it. I've been under it, yes, that's true, it is, and so we have a little familiarity with that bridge. But it is really a very impressive thing to see in person. I don't think pictures really do it justice. I think everybody, you know, New York is one of the great cities of the world. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day, about what a remarkable city that it is. It's not New York without the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, that's plain and simple. So I guess that's all I really have to say about the Brooklyn Bridge. There are a couple of little tidbits I want to pass along about the George Washington Bridge. Not all of which are related to the news story, but we'll save that for when you cover the George Washington. So with that, we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thanks for waiting until at least I give you an overview of the George Washington Bridge. But that's quite some information in the news. So hopefully you can share that. You know, I think One India probably goes over that quite often. His sister lives in Jersey City, so I'm not sure if that's a bridge he goes over. So I was hoping he'd be here tonight to share some comments, but he's not. So I'll break with you, Gary, and we're going to pick up Sixth Victor and see what he would like to share with us this evening about either the Washington, Florida, or California bridges that we've talked about thus far. KY6B, thanks for being here, and please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Gordon here, KY6B. I wanted to point my first comments towards George. George, you know, I am registered with a weather alert system for our area. It's called emergencyemail.org. And we've had some blistering things happening around us, but it has currently been canceled. Some gymnastic-type thunderstorms in Lake County that were destined to happen in DeBary and Orange City and so on and so forth, currently canceled. So I guess we missed the bullet in that regards, George. The only thing I can say about the Brooklyn Bridge, Kathy, is I've been trying to sell that for years. It was something that I picked up a long time ago that, you know, if you really want to make it, I've got the Brooklyn Bridge to sell you, that kind of thing. I was absolutely amazed just today to find out that that bridge has been around since the 1800s. You might restate the date, but I think it was like 1888 or 1880, something like that. And I've been trying to sell it here for just about all of that time. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, let me just go over a little bit of the information. But Gary wants to know from you if you will offer financing, and I guess maybe he's interested in buying that bridge. But in June of 1869, with some help from the business community and a member of the Senate, you know, that design that John Roebling had prepared was sanctioned. The laying of the foundation started on the 3rd of January, 1870, which took approximately 3 years to finish. And this, by the way, was the first bridge which had utilized dynamite for its construction. The bridge was built using steel cables, which were not used for building a bridge before. And today, like Gary was saying, over 145,000 vehicles cross the Brooklyn Bridge every day. However, there is no fee for people and vehicles to cross it. I thought that rather interesting. So, Gordon, any further comments on whether you have financing for Mr. Gary?
Well, certainly. Gordon here, KY6V. Would you kindly tell Mr. Agnew up there that we have an intermarrially associated group? It's called Fannie Mae. And Fannie Mae will set up everything that's necessary for Mr. Agnew. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Gordon, for sharing that. I've heard that. I've been a member of South Car since 2008, and I've heard that comment. You're trying to sell that Brooklyn Bridge to so many people, and no one has taken you up on that offer until now with Mr. Gary. And it must be something because he's retired and he has all those funds out there so he can buy that bridge from you. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. We're talking about some of the bridges, and right now we're talking about U.S. bridges. There's some beautiful bridges around the world, which we won't get into. And like I said, just do a search on the internet looking for famous bridges and see some of these unique pictures of some of these bridges. But let me take a pause here, and then we're going to talk about the George Washington Bridge. New York again, and New Jersey area, and maybe we have some other comments that would like to come aboard, but let me take one pause before I continue. All right, dubbed the GWB by locals, the George Washington Bridge sprawls 4,760 feet across the Hudson River and joins Manhattan with New Jersey. This is one unique bridge that is spread over two different levels, with the upper level providing four lanes of traffic in each direction and the lower level with three lanes of traffic in each direction to make a total of 14 lanes. Originally built in October 1931 and designed by Cass Gilbert and named the Hudson River Bridge, the name was changed soon after and dedicated to the first president of the United States, George Washington. Popular as a pedestrian and tourist photo vantage point, a dedicated pass is allocated allowing you to walk, cycle, or roller skate end to end. The bridge, like I said, is a two-level suspension bridge which crosses over the Hudson River and connects Fort Lee, New Jersey, and Upper Manhattan. You know, the bridge was designed by a person by the name of Othmar Ammann, and its construction commenced in October of 1927. The tower, which was on the New Jersey side, was constructed around 76 feet into the river, whereas that on the New York side was constructed after a considerable amount of time due to a steep drop-off in the shorelines. Over 43,000 tons of steel was utilized in the construction of both towers, which have their individual elevators. And let me take a pause once again. The bridge was completely constructed and opened to the public on October 25, 1931. Its construction amounted to $52 million and took 12 lives. When it was operational, it was a six-lane, single-level bridge. Ammann had engineered it in such a way that more lanes and levels could be added, and as a result, in 1946, two more lanes were included. And in 1962, the second level was totally operational. Today, the bridge has two lanes. Like I said, the upper with eight lanes, the lower with six. Over 300,000 vehicles use the bridge to commute every day, which includes it amongst the busiest bridges in the world. It was also called the Hudson River Bridge, the Verrazzano Bridge, and the Columbus Bridge. So, how about any check-ins at this point that'd like to talk about the George Washington Bridge? You'd like to come aboard, and we sure hope that you do come aboard with your suffix.
RMO.
And 6 Victor.
All right, I have RMO and I have 6 Victor. How about anyone else out there? We have a lot of fine gentlemen and ladies out there. They're being quiet tonight. So how about coming aboard and just checking in with us, saying hi? Or maybe you have some comments about the bridges. Any bridges you've gone over, any experiences you've had. So before I pick up Gary and Mr. 6 Victor, anyone else want to come aboard?
Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, we seem to have some quiet people out there this evening. Maybe it's too cold in their area, maybe it's too stormy. So I'll go with these three fine gentlemen, and I'll start with my backup, Mr. Gary. He's in the perfect area to tell us about the George Washington Bridge. I'm sure everyone knows what recently happened, but you may want to share that as well. Have you ever been over that George Washington Bridge? And what's the experience? Have you walked it? Have you ridden a bike? And I don't think I said anything about a cost. Do you have any clue on if there's a cost to go over it? So Gary, KC2RMO, come aboard. And by the way, we'll sign you... You said sign you up, and we'll contact Fannie Mae to get that financing for that Brooklyn Bridge for you. Over to you, Gary.
Well, I tell you, you can't beat those Fannie Mae loans. You really can't. I'm having them, you know, sign the Social Security check direct. So, you know, no muss, no fuss. That bridge is mine. I mean, I want it, so it's okay, you know. It's but everybody rides for free with Gary. It's okay. The Brooklyn Bridge is great. The George Washington Bridge is well, it's prone to occasional unexpected lane closures, and you know, just don't know why, but it every now and then that happens. I've been on the George Washington Bridge. It is a toll bridge. I can't remember what the heck it cost. Do you remember?
No. I think it wasn't a whole lot.
I don't think it was. Yeah, I was gonna. It was seemed pretty cheap. It was. Yeah, it wasn't much, but it was. You know, it was one of those things you throw your money in the basket type of a thing. I think, you know. Yeah, it's been a while, but you know, it's not very expensive anyway. I know that. The weird thing about the George Washington Bridge, assuming you've got all the lanes open, is that you know, it's a double level bridge, and you're driving, and you realize that you've got thousands of cars and trucks above you, you know, and. Yeah, and what happens, you know, if that thing goes, you know, you get squished, you know, so it's like, it's kind of, if you think about it too much, it can be kind of an interesting experience going across that thing.
Thanks,
see, not that they would have anything to do with your bridgephobia, you know, so it's, you know, that's fine. But one thing, this is a special note to grandparents, okay, and I'm being totally serious right now. There is a wonderful book that has to do with the George Washington Bridge, and it is called The Little Red Lighthouse and the Great Gray Bridge. Okay, this was a book from when I was a kid. It was read on Captain Kangaroo. I remember it then. And I remembered it through all these years, and I got it for Kendall, my granddaughter, a couple of years ago. Yeah. And remember, it was Christmas present.
Oh, I didn't know that was the book.
Yeah, it was the book. And I got it for Kendi. And it's just a super story, and I think every kid should have it. It's under $10, and it makes a swell gift. So there's the plug for that. It's called The Little Red Lighthouse and the Great Gray Bridge. So with that, we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, Gary, thanks for sharing that. It's probably quite a book for youngsters probably to read. Captain Kangaroo. Oh my goodness, that brings back memories as well. Never been over George Washington or the Brooklyn Bridge. Been over bridges in Michigan, and that's going to be the next one that we talk about. But, you know, George Washington Bridge was sure in the news, and it's still probably going to be in the news for quite some time. But, you know, with the Brooklyn or New York bridges, and Gordon, because I know you're coming up next, a few years back, I don't know if it was a bridge or it was a tunnel, there in Los Angeles when it collapsed and killed so many people. I don't know if that was a tunnel or it was a bridge, and I don't know if it was during a storm. It was just the construction. So maybe you can remember back to that. It's quite a few years back. A lot of loss of life. So with that, I'm going to throw it your direction, KY6V, and see what your comments are about the New York bridges, the California bridges, the Florida bridges, or any other bridge you want to talk about at this point. So please come aboard.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Gordon here, KY6V. Remembering the tunnel collapse that you're talking about, it does remind me of a quick story. There's a tunnel on the San Francisco bridge that goes over towards Oakland. You go through a tunnel. There's a little island out there called Treasure Island. And then you go into the rest of the span, taking you over the Oakland side. And years ago, they had a dramatic blockage where a semi-truck 18-wheeler, if you will, crashed into this thing. He was a little bit too high on his trailer and just stopped traffic right now. And they pull the engineers out, said, how are we going to relieve this problem? And they were having all kinds of problems doing it. And a little 11-year-old guy, a kid, stepped up and he says, pardon me, sir, but, you know, if you deflate the air and the tires on this semi, you can probably pull it out. And that's the way the story ended. Let me buy a nickel here. So much for that. As far as Fannie Mae, you're on the list. Gary, you rascal. Maybe I can sell this bridge yet. You know, the Golden Gate was a one-level bridge. The San Francisco to Oakland Bay Bridge was two levels. I've never had, you know, I've traveled it quite a bit, but I don't recall ever having the experience of thinking about dropping 700 feet to the water like the Golden Gate, Kathy, and being smashed, whatever the word is, Gary, from the upper level. But interesting type comment. Any rate, Kathy, good program this evening, and thank you. KY6V, over.
Well, thank you so much for coming aboard this evening, and I won't be able to go into all the bridges around the world, but there are so many around the world. They're just magnificent. And like I said, if you have a desire further into looking at some of those bridges, just do a search on long bridges, the famous bridges. And I did have about 25, I think, in other countries, and I'll just mainly say their locations because I won't have the time this evening. But I'll break with you, Six Victor, and we have probably about two more of bridges in the United States before I just go through those 10 longest bridges. But let me pick up VXP, N1VXP, or Rick in Ohio. Please come back aboard.
This is N1VXP. I put in the text box a link for longest suspension bridges in the world. And I think that's the difference between suspension bridges being that they are long, but when you say bridge, that can include at each end or one end, part of a bridge that is not really a suspension, but just more of a elevated deck area. And mention about the New York bridges, one cannot forget the Bear Mountain Bridge, and I've been across that one a number of times. There's also the Tappan Zee Bridge. Great bridges that a lot of people tend to travel, say, from Connecticut into New York, going across the Hudson. Quite the sight to see. And for Gary's information, if you go to Poughkeepsie, New York, they do have a suspension bridge that does go across the river. However, there's a much older railroad bridge that I would say, I'm not exaggerating to say, has to be at least probably 500 feet above the water. It just stood there for so many years. They eliminated the railroad traffic across it and didn't really know what to do with it, but recently came up with a walkway to go across the river. Let me drop for a second. I haven't seen it completed, but I did do a Google map little look on it, and I found that it's quite long, and like I say, it's quite high up off the water, and I can imagine that would be quite a view of the river itself, of the suspension bridge right there in Poughkeepsie, and just overall a nice little fun way to walk. It's got to be, I would say, the whole bridge probably is close to a mile or a mile and a half in length. It's not suspended. It's actually set up on these columns, but quite the thing to end up going across. M1TXD back to net control.
Well, Rick, thanks so much for sharing. You know, that's what I wanted to hear from everyone tonight, some of the bridges they've been over that maybe are not the most famous, some of those little bridges that you've been over, had some great experiences fishing under some of the bridges. You know, and I haven't heard much of that. So what I'm going through is just some of the famous bridges, some of the longer ones. But there's some that you've actually know that I'm not talking about. So, you know, before we close this evening, maybe you'll come aboard and share with that. But I'm going to go into the next one, which is one that I'm very familiar with, and that is the Mackinac Bridge in the state of Michigan. It connects an upper and a lower peninsula. And my son, who is a truck driver that hauls crude oil from the upper peninsula to the lower peninsula, travels across this bridge continually, every single day, probably numerous times. And his vehicle has 22 wheels. So usually they won't allow you across that bridge. If there's any type of wind, it'll be shut down. So I'm not sure what would happen if it got shut down. But let me take a pause here, and I'm going to talk about the Mackinac Bridge. Envisioned as early as the 1880s, but not completed until 1957, Mackinac, or Big Mac, joins the upper and lower peninsulas of Michigan and is currently the third longest suspension bridge in the world. Stretched over 26,000 feet and 155 feet high, the four lanes provide direct access to approximately 12,000 movements per day. Designed by engineer David Steinman, it was named after the Algonquin Native Americans, a name for the area, Michimiliac. And I probably pronounced that wrong because it's a long name, but it's Michimili and then Mackinac, meaning the great road of departure. There is no pedestrian or bicycle access across the bridge due to the reasonably low guard railing and high gusts of wind. Nervous drivers, and this is for you, Stephanie, can have their transportation driven for them across the bridge for free using the driver's assistance program. I've crossed the Mackinac Bridge many times. I've walked it on the Labor Day walk. And it's an amazing feeling that high up. Never thought I could do that. It's about 5 miles. And the bridge is closed on one side as thousands of walkers take the time to walk the approximate 5 miles from the upper peninsula to the lower peninsula. And if you haven't tried that experience, you know, it would be worth your time. The Mackinac Bridge ranks third in the list of world's biggest suspension bridges, like I said, with 26,371 feet long. It joins Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas, and it crosses the Straits of Mackinac. The construction commenced on May the 7th, 1954. 5 lives were lost while the bridge was being constructed. The Mackinac Bridge was opened for public use on November 1st, 1957, but was officially dedicated on the 25th of June, 1958. Today, if one has to cross the bridge, he has to pay a certain amount. Most of the amount collected from the people are used for his maintenance. So with that, let me throw it out there to anyone who's possibly crossed that bridge or have any further comments about that bridge in Michigan, because it's a very popular one. With that, let's see who we can get to check in.
Why is it R?
And RMO.
Well, hello there, Bernie. I was there on the tail end of your discussion with one of the nets today. I think you can't remember the city, but it is Wisconsin. And I know that you're probably very familiar with the Mackinac Island and the Mackinac Bridge. So thanks for being here. And then Mr. RMO. Now, you need to take Stephanie across the Mackinac Bridge as it sways back and forth. But it's a great experience. Very popular bridge. It connects two peninsulas. So with that, Bernie, come aboard. Welcome to South Cars, and I'm glad you're joining us this evening. This is Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm the one that's going to send you a welcome email probably tomorrow. So, Bernie, what would you like to tell us tonight?
Okay, K6SUN, K9YZR. Yeah, good evening, Kathy and everyone else. Yeah, for a while I couldn't connect back in again. It just said it was unavailable. But about quarter to seven local time here, central time, I was able to check back in again. You were in the middle of discussing the bridge down in Florida down there. And I brought up the Mackinac Bridge right on here too, and I was reading about it because I have an uncle that lived on in lower Michigan, and in order to get to his cabins, he had to cross that bridge. I never got over there myself, but they used to say that, sometimes people can't get all the way across because it's moving around in the wind and stuff, and you have to have those drivers go in there. So I was actually reading right along when you were reading about it. I think I might have even been looking at the same thing because you were saying just about the same thing as what I was reading on about it here. I never got to go over it myself, but I know my relatives have, my aunts and uncles, and my great uncle lived down there, had some cabins down there, but he passed away. But I never did get to go across it, but I always was going to go over there and do it. So not much else that I can think of right now, but it was sort of funny how I decided to look it up and read more about it online right when you started to talk about it. Actually 5 minutes before you started to talk about it and before you mentioned it. So back to you, Kathy, K6SUN, KC9YZR.
Well, that's so funny, Bernie. But I was born and raised in the state of Michigan. I lived there until about 2006. Then I moved to the state of school teacher in the Fort Pierce area down here, as well as the net manager for South Cars. And I haven't been back to Michigan for a while. I guess it's just too busy for me down here. But my son still lives up there. My mother still lives up there. My son lives in Kalkaska, which is very close to the Mackinac Bridge. And it's quite a sight to see at night if you've never seen it with all the lights. And it's quite an experience, like I said, to walk across that. Driving across it, like I said, if it's windy, they won't allow you to go across. If you get halfway there, they may be turning you around. But like Gordon was talking about the Golden Gate, it's a constant maintenance. They're constantly up there painting, and I've seen them up on those, they're not towers, but the suspensions up way at the top, and wondering how someone could do that. You'd have to be the right type of person, and that definitely isn't Stephanie, Gary. So thank you, Bernie, for being here, and I want to once again welcome you to South Cars and hope that you'll join us whenever possible. But you know, sometimes we all have those connection problems. I was having that as well today. So thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing with us. And with that, I'll break with you and pick you up, Mr. Gary. Can we encourage you to take Stephanie over the Mackinac Bridge? With that, I'll turn it to you.
Lord, am I on? There we go. Okay. I had a window in front of the client, and I couldn't see if I was on. I would take Steph across it. I may not live after I took Steph across it. She's not here. I can't pick on her. She went out to the kitchen. So, I would say even with using the driver assistance program, she would probably be white knuckling across that bridge. I'd enjoy every minute of it. I'd the Mackinac Bridge. That's the one in Michigan. Well, now she claims that she's been over that several times. Would you care to come in here and state your case? I believe she's coming in to state her case. So we're waiting right now. There she is. She's coming here. She is here to state. Step right up to the mutual microphone. And
I didn't hear the whole conversation, but is that the bridge that goes from Canada to Michigan?
Well, I believe it is. I've
been over several times because I've been to Michigan several times.
Well, yes, I know that.
And that's how I go, through Canada.
Well, yeah. Well, let me just buy a nickel here. Okay, so, and that didn't bother you.
No, but keep in mind, this was several years
this
ago.
This was pre-Bridgephobia.
Yes.
Yeah, well, now we have Bridgephobia.
Yeah, I don't remember what it looks like or anything. I remember
it's
I liked
big.
It.
It's very big.
I know, I liked it. I remember that.
Well,
but
maybe
that's all I
see. Maybe we can...
Yeah, if you want to go to Michigan.
We'll go to Michigan.
I
and
Holland, Michigan. We'll go visit Holland.
Well, fine. That's fine. But we'll go there, and you can see whether or not your Bridgephobia holds on this bridge.
I don't think it will.
Well, we'll find out. Thank you, my love.
You're welcome.
The other thing I wanted to comment on was Rick talking about that railroad bridge. That is insane. I the last time I was on this, and I think this is the same one he was talking about. It sure sounds like it. It's probably is about 500 feet up. It's not a suspension bridge. It is a trestle type bridge, and you are up there, way up there. I mean, all you can see down is down. And what they do is they pull the train. Apparently, the train meets up with another section of the train there to go into Massachusetts with another train. You know, they take two and make it one. And you wait for this other train, and you sit on this bridge for like an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. Let me buy a nickel. And meanwhile, you know, you're just sitting there up in the air. You know, the only good thing that I could say about it was at the time I drank, and it was helpful, believe me. But it's amazing though. You are just way up in the air, and all you have is just that one lane of track, and you're just, you know, really exposed to everything. And probably the best feeling in the world is when that, you know, you feel those cars start jostling to start going forward, and you get off that thing. It is not a pleasant experience. That's for sure. But that was the last time I was on it was back in the 70s, and I guess probably, you know, it was about the time they shut things down on that, too. So, interesting experience. So, this is KC2RMO. We're going to send it back to the net.
Interesting comments, Gary, but thanks for sharing those. And actually, the Mackinac Bridge connects the upper and the lower peninsula of Michigan. But if you keep going north, it will take you into Canada, yes. But it doesn't connect Michigan to Canada. I guess actually it does, because you can't get to Canada from Michigan unless you've gone over that bridge. But it does connect the two upper and lower peninsulas of Michigan. You know, guys, the thing that looks like a mitten that has those five lakes around it that's full of snow and ice and cold weather right now. So with that, I have one more bridge in the United States that I want to talk about. And then I'll throw it out there for anyone else. I'll tell you about the 10 longest bridges, and then we're going to actually ask for some final check-ins and close down. There's a lot of bridges around the world, very popular ones, very beautiful ones, but you're going to have to check that out on your own. So the final one I have is called the Navajo Bridge, and it's in Arizona. It's located in Marble Canyon, Arizona. The Navajo Bridge has two bridges spanning 900 feet over and 470 feet above the Colorado River. The original bridge was built in 1929, but by 1990, the traffic flow was deemed too great and the bridge failed many highway codes. Due to several factors such as local interests and environmental concerns, replacement soon became the only option. Once completed in 1994, the original bridge was closed down to traffic and is now pedestrian access only, with the new bridge adhering to all highway codes, becoming the vehicle access. You know, you can take some great photos off of this bridge as it views the Colorado River. But, you know, let's stop here. I asked for check-ins to talk about bridges as we went through the whole session, but maybe there's someone else as a final check-in that would like to talk about a bridge we haven't talked about. Anyone in any part of the United States, Canada? Well, I don't see we have anyone from other countries, but maybe there's a bridge we haven't talked about that you would like to come up and share with us this evening. So at this point, before I tell you about the 10 longest bridges, is there anyone that has a special bridge they want to talk about?
Six, Victor. Oh, I guess I doubled. Six, Victor.
All right, it looks like we have two stations. Mr. Doug, GYF, you sound a little bit different this evening. You're either on a phone or a laptop. But thanks for joining us. I hope that you've been listening and found some of those bridges rather interesting. What would you like to share with us this evening? Are there any bridges down in Fort Myers that you would like to share with us, or any other bridges? Maybe some out there in Kansas or anywhere else. I know you went to Alaska not too long ago. So, Doug, thanks for being here tonight. What would you like to share with us?
You know, Kathy, on this internet, a fella can run, but he can't hide. And you know exactly that I'm not on my normal walkie-talkie. I'm on a computer microphone on a regular plain vanilla link. Hey, my first bridge I recall, my dad took me to in Long Beach, California. It was over the Los Angeles River, and it was a drawbridge that wasn't a drawbridge. The whole bridge moved up horizontally with the water, and I'd never seen any other bridge like that. It's still there. I looked it up a few minutes ago. A bridge that moves straight up. The whole roadway moves straight up rather than breaking in the middle like a drawbridge. That was quite a memory. Then on the 7 Mile Bridge down Marathon, Pigeon Key, and beyond, I got to bicycle that last year. And I got to bicycle the old bridge. And I think the old auto bridge is built on top of, didn't George say this, or did I just dream this up? The old auto bridge is built on top of the old railroad bridge, right there on the 7 Mile Bridge from Marathon to Pigeon Key. And the side rails of that old auto bridge, are railroad ties. That was interesting. And so those are some bridges that are memorable. Here in Fort Myers, Florida, all the bridges cross the Caloosahatchee River. It took me 5 years before I could even pronounce Caloosahatchee. A lot of Indian names here in the U.S. of A., is there not? And I put in the text box a few minutes ago that the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, called Galloping Gertie, and I was away for a few minutes. Maybe you guys already talked about that. The bridge that in 1940 blew down because of a windstorm, and it was galloping because it moved around so much. I've been on the Golden Gate a number of times. I don't remember it moving around. I didn't walk the whole thing, but I have been underneath it on a tour boat and above it walking like Rick. Fun stuff. Fun net too, Kathy. Thanks a lot. KA0GYF on a laptop with the laptop microphone. You're sharp ear. I can't hide. KA0GYF, over.
Well, I didn't say you were hiding. I just said you sounded different. I always hear you on your walkie-talkie. Never, I don't think I've ever heard you on the laptop. I've heard you on the phone. So you just sounded a little bit different, but we all do. Probably I would sound quite a bit different on a walkie-talkie, too. Great on the 7 Mile Bridge and bicycling, and I know that you're going to be bicycling pretty soon, in about a month. Orlando Hamfest, and then you're going to take your bike and ride quite a bit. So that's really sounds like a lot of fun. Galloping Gertie. I'm not too sure where that is. I've never heard of it, but maybe you can further clarify that, or anyone else can. But, you know, I'm thinking of some of the bridges we have over the Intercoastal Highway. Roosevelt Bridge is not very high, but we've been having an awful lot of suicides off that small bridge. I remember last year when Paul WQ1I came down in this area, he bicycled over one of the bridges that went over the Intercoastal going up. But interesting about the bridge that you said the whole highway goes up. You know, there's a lot that break in the middle so the boats can go through. So thank you, Doug, for being here. Thanks for sharing all that with us. Maybe Six Victor can come back aboard and tell us about the Long Beach over the Los Angeles River, I think you said, and the drawbridge. And maybe he has some information about Galloping Gertie, because I've never heard of it. So I'll break with you, Doug, and have a great night and a great day tomorrow as well. And pick up Mr. Six Victor, see what he has to share with us. KY6D, please come aboard.
Thank you, Kathy. KY6V, Gordon here. Hi, Doug. I can tell you that the Golden Gate Bridge will swing and sway like Sammy Kay. Maybe not the times that you were out there, but when the wind really starts blowing, that center span starts to chasse, you know, east and west. And it's a great experience if you're out there in a traffic jam and you can't go any further than you are at the moment. You sit there and experience what you experience. Kathy, I would say you might want to pick up Gary for a comment on this. You know, he's been very vocal tonight, and I've appreciated that, Gary. You talked about troubled waters in the song early on in the program. You know, the movie that really comes to mind that I enjoyed so much, I think I watched it three or four times, Problems, or I don't recall the total title, Problems on the River Kwai. That was one fantastic movie. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, you know, Gordon, I remember the title, and I remember parts of the movie. But that was so long ago, and I don't watch many movies, but yes, that was a great movie. And thanks for coming aboard and sharing with us, but you didn't make a comment about the Galloping Gertie, so I've never heard of that, so may have to do some research on that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's something you can do with a lot of the bridges that we've talked about here tonight. Now, Rick has put in there some links and some information, and it's been very interesting hearing some of those bridges that you're talking about, because I haven't gone over very many. I know there's one in Louisiana, and I don't remember the name, but I thought it was 26 miles, and that wasn't one of the longest bridges, so maybe it's not considered a bridge. Who knows? So, Mr. Gary, do you have any comment? It's the bridge over the River Kwai. Gordon, Rick put that in the text box. So, yes, I remember that quite well. So, with that, Gary, would you have any comment that you would like to make? And anyone else at this point before I start concluding and talking about the longest bridges? Anyone anywhere want to come aboard, make some comments? Reply to anything anyone said, or just to come aboard and say hi. And George Huey P. Long, I'm not sure what you mean there, so maybe you'd like to clarify that for me. Anyone anywhere want to come aboard?
RMO.
Oh, my Charlie Bravo.
All right. I will pick up these two fine gentlemen and see what they have to share with us, because they've been great participants this evening, along with everyone else. I've enjoyed it thoroughly, and I hope you have as well. But Mr. Gary, and I have a lot to share about winter tomorrow, because actually my winter down here is different than yours, but my winter storm last week was a real treat. So, Gary, KC2RMO, what would you like to share with us?
Well, thank you, Kathy. And Huey P. Long, was he not known as the Kingfish, I think? Not to be confused with the Kingfish, but I mean, I think that's what they nicknamed him, was the Kingfish. So I don't know what George has to say with him, but I'd like to find out too. Excuse me. The bridge over the River Kwai was a story. I believe William Holden was in that. And it had to do with a bunch of British prisoners of war. But other than that, I honestly don't remember the rest of it. Just that it was a good movie. I can definitely remember it being a good movie. So that's about all I can add to that. But I am interested about the Huey Long and see what the heck's going on. Rick, I wanted to point out, or Pat, I'd say thank you. I'm going to use your information to try and track down the name of that bridge and when that thing went out of service, because that was an experience. That really was. And as far as the rest of it all goes, I hope everybody here can take some time out and join us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for the Sunday Morning Rag Chew, where we will be talking about the people versus winter. And that should be pretty good. I think we've got a lot to talk about, that's for sure. So I hope you'll join us then. But after the shameless plug, we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, Gary. Just like I said, what happened to me this past week wasn't typical winter weather, but I did hear that if all that rain had been snow, we would have had 4 feet, and we probably had had the record. I've never seen so much water, and it's still probably standing around in different areas. I know there's a lake behind Dale Castle's that actually you probably will find fish in. But thank you, Doug, for putting that in the text box. Lake Pontchartrain Causeway is 22 miles. That is in Louisiana, I believe. I remember Scott telling us about that, and Steve as well. So maybe they don't call it a bridge. Maybe it's a bridge, or a causeway is different than a bridge. So, Mr. LCB, you know, Huey P. Long, it rings a bell, but please clarify it a little bit further for me. And thanks for being here tonight. Enjoyed the picture of Twinkles, by the way, and sad news about the animals, but I know that that was something you needed to do. So come aboard. Tell us about Huey P. Long or anything else you'd like to tell us about those bridges.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo. Well, Mr. UEP Long, what can I say? He's one of the grassroots association of bubbas that has filtrated across the country. But if you do a Google UEP Long Bridge, as Doug put in the text box, you to go across Lake Pontchartrain. So that is an infamous bridge. I think it's three levels, and one of them supports the train. So, you know, it, and I used to go across the old one, but now they have redid the new one, which I hadn't had the opportunity, but who knows, maybe one of these days. KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
All right, thank you so much, George and Gary. You know, as we conclude this evening, I want to tell you about the longest bridges. You know, wonders of the architectural world and a need in changing times, bridges of the world are truly spellbinding. Essentially built to save commuters' time, bridges establish better connectivity between distant shores, encouraging trade, shaping social lives, and giving an impetus to the urban life. They help in easing the pressure of traffic by being alternative routes. Amongst all the bridges in the world, there are a few that top for their distances they cover and their unique structure. One of those is called the Jin Hue High-Speed Railway. It's in China. The 7-Mile Bridge is one of the longest bridges. Sunshine Skyway Bridge. The Confederation Bridge, which is a bridge that connects Prince Edward Island with the mainland New Brunswick in Canada. The San Mateo Hayward Bridge, which crosses over California's San Francisco Bay to connect it to San Francisco Peninsula within the East Bay. Vasco da Gama Bridge, Donghai Bridge, which is in Shanghai. Pinjai Bridge, which is in Malaysia. Rio Anetario Bridge, which is in Rio de Janeiro. Chesapeake Bay Bridge, Maryland in the Western Shore. And Wei He Grand Bridge. Those are the 10 longest bridges. So with that, as we conclude this evening, I want to see if we have any final check-ins before, if it's okay with you, KY6D, I'm going to ask you to close this evening. So any final comments, any final check-ins that would like to come aboard as we conclude this evening's program. So if you'd like to check in, please come aboard.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, Mr. Rick, what are your final comments for this evening?
Well, I just thought I'd bring it out that all the different bridges I've been across, I always kind of had a lot of fun going across some of the older suspension bridges, because we used to call them singing bridges. They're nothing more than steel grates, and when the tires hit them, it made a kind of a singing noise, and I realized that over the years, the rebuilding of the road surface, they actually filled it in and actually eliminated the steel grating to put in concrete reinforced with blacktop on the top for the road surface. But they, I can always remember going over some of the older, not so much famous suspension bridges and thinking, wow, those great idea of having the road surface itself, nothing more than steel type of the surface that always made that singing noise. Always a lot of fun to listen to it. Couldn't hear it outside, you know, with the cars going by, but always something when you're inside of a car and you go across those kind of bridges. Brings back old memories. And 1TXP back to net control.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. And I want to thank everyone this evening for coming aboard and sharing their thoughts on the different bridges and their experiences. It's been a fun net, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So please join us in the morning for the Sunday Morning Rag Chew, talking about winter versus people, all those experiences during winter. Whether it's rain, snow, sleet, or ice, we've all had them. So with that, I want to say good night to everyone. But Gordon, KY6V, are you able to close this evening? If not, I do have it up. I can read it. But maybe you'd like to bring your voice aboard as I'm starting to lose mine. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
No, I'd be very happy to, Kathy. Thank you. KY6V here. This is Gordon. You know, it's been a great show. You know, cross over the bridge, guys and gals. It means a lot of things to a lot of people. Any last-minute check-ins here before we close the net tonight? KY6V, 4 South Cars. Over. Okay, hearing nada. Hey, thanks for coming by. This has been the South Cars South Coast Amateur Radio Service VOIP Net. Schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcars.com website. Your net control tonight has been K6SUN, backed up by KC2RMO. And I'm closing here for this evening. We're going to return the server back to normal use and abuse. Good evening, everybody, and thank you. KY6V clear.